Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a podcast for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the producer of the NovoEd Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Abby Pinto, who is the Director of Talent Development at Thomson Reuters. Abby is got a background in learning and development, as well as a further background in international education and consulting. So she's got a vast, diverse background of experience to share with us today. Abby, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick it off by introducing yourself, your role, and your company?
Thank you, Melissa. Great to be here. Yep, as you said, I'm Director of Talent Development for Thomson Reuters, which for those of you not familiar with it, is a global company of almost $7 billion in revenue. We've got 26,000 employees around the world, and we serve clients in multiple domains. So legal, tax and accounting, government, risk and fraud, and of course, our Reuters journalism business. So very diverse business. And I manage a small but mighty talent development team as a center of excellence within our HR function. So we have a global remit and responsibility to support employees in their skill building and career development. So that's me.
Wow. Wow. What an on-taking that is. Can you speak a little bit to who are your learners and what are some of their biggest challenges?
Sure thing. So again, we have a global organization that's very, very diverse in terms of our employee, the kinds of work that our employees do and the kinds of skills that they're deploying against that work. So I think one thing that we find as a challenge with that learner set is just that diversity. So you can imagine everything from very deep technical experts and data scientists. We have a lot of AI expertise in our organization. So that's one kind of employee. We have journalists. We have people working across our functional areas, working with all these different kinds of customers. So I think that to me is one big challenge. People are specialized in all these different areas. So how do we support skill development in that context? I also think what we're facing, and this is true for any company you talk to, the industries that we serve are evolving really fast. And I'll take AI and generative AI as an example. That is transforming how our customers work. Therefore, it's transforming how we need to work and deliver value for them. And so that's a skill development challenge. So how can we help our learners stay not just up to speed, but ahead of that curve is what I wake up thinking about every single day. Yeah, it's a fun challenge and it's an ongoing one for sure.
I bet. And just, you know, with technology evolving so rapidly, it's something you're just constantly doing, right?
Right.
How are you kind of approaching some of these challenges? Like, you know, obviously, besides staying up and waking up and thinking about these challenges, how do you kind of tackle some of them?
Well, I think one thing that's maybe even sort of broader than the learning approach, although certainly it influences it, is sort of culturally or organizationally, culturally, we are continuing to drive and want to instill a spirit of experimentation and growth mindset. That feels like such an essential ingredient for managing the kind of change that we all are, and also accelerating or fueling learning. I mean, it feels obvious, and yet it feels like we're needing and wanting to underline that for our employees. So that's one thing. Our team is doing a few things. So we've identified and are in the process of identifying a few critical skill areas that we believe are really essential for all our employees. So I put AI in that bucket for sure. And that means, how do I, in my role, use the tools at my disposal effectively to transform my work and improve my work? So that's one thing. I think another priority for us is continuing to identify those critical skills. So making sure that we're grounding our learning and development efforts in what's going to have the most impact for the business, for our organization. We're spending a lot of time this year on our manager development. Again, with this backdrop of big change, how do we want our managers to show up? How can we support them in showing up effectively? We're focused on the learning environment itself. So how can we help people, give them good information about, hey, what are those skills in demand? What are some great ways I can go build those skills and just make it easy for me to do that? So I guess that's our tech stack, that's processes. How do we continue to evolve that and make that as good as it can be? So anyway, there's a lot of things there. I think, one challenge I would especially underline is needing great data on skills. And again, we are not the only company thinking about this and trying to figure this out. So what are the skills in demand? What's our supply? You know, how can we, again, ever faster help our employees build those skills?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Something you talk about is, you know, like ever faster, how can you do it? You know, with the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, like, how has your approach to learning and development kind of adapted to ensure that your employees are equipped and like kind of staying ahead of this curve?
Yeah. Great question. I think we're fortunate in that we, as an organization, we're already used to virtual collaboration. I mean, well before the pandemic made remote work or hybrid work more of a thing, we were accustomed to doing that anyway. So we have the infrastructure to do that. We have been focusing more actively on how we help people learn from their peers. So in structured ways. So how do we help people connect one-on-one in mentoring relationships? How do we help them connect in small groups for virtual coffee chats? How do we continue to identify the knowledge and expertise around the organization, give people ways to raise their hands and share that? That's been really, really fun. And to me, like, that feels like a supercharged way to help people learn. And I think the adage about if you're teaching or you're helping somebody else, then you're sharpening your own skills. That holds true for sure. And then I think the final way is we are leaning into how can we provide short-term projects, gigs, and experiences that help people develop their skills. So ideally, with our talent marketplace, we are, you know, presenting a way for, you know, managers and others to say, hey, I need a pair of hands or several to get this work done. And it's a great development opportunity. So let's make that match. So we're doing a lot more with that as a means of learning and skill development.
That's brilliant. And I love that it's just like tying people back to people, you know, which is so important. And I think that's just
for sure, a
very effective way of doing what you're doing. You mentioned earlier, you know, trying to find kind of like data around skills. How does your team identify and address skills gaps within the organization? Like, how are you approaching that?
Yeah, we've got a lot of work streams underway, parallel work streams on this right now. So here, and we're going at it in a in somewhat a team by team, area by area way, so we can get some depth here. And here are the questions we're asking. And again, I'll set some of this in the context of, we know generative AI is changing and will change how we work. So that's the impetus. So we're asking, all right, today, how are you spending time during your work week? Like, what does that actually look like today? What is the technology advancement or advancements that are already changing what you do and how you do it? What do we know from the outside of the organization that's happening? And then what do we feel and see inside? How is this particular role or roles going to evolve? And then, knowing all that, like, what are those top three, say, most important skills that someone's going to need? And what does good look like? So again, just trying to be purposeful in narrowing down to, let's describe things in a little more depth, with that human input. And we're starting with areas of the business that we know are most affected by generative AI. So we have a good sense of that. So out of all that, then the question becomes, what's the combination of hire from the outside, build and develop internally, borrow those skills where we need to? What's that right combination?
Yeah.
So it's I'd say it's a human process. We're enabling it with technology where we can. We're also really encouraging our employees to think with a skills lens. So consider, what are the skills that you already have, and help us understand what those are. Also, what are those things that you most want to develop? And tell us that too, because that is ultimately going to serve you as an employee. It's going to help us or our, HRIS come up with some recommendations for your learning and development, people you should meet, gigs you should pay attention to. So
Yeah.
anyway, long answer there, but that's a couple ways how we're
No, I love
approaching the
that.
skills question.
And you bring in like the component of like almost like future proofing, which is not something that like everyone always addresses. And like there is that component there. So I love that. I think
Yeah,
that's very
we're
powerful.
trying. We're
Yeah.
trying.
How do you currently measure the effectiveness of your programs? And this is always a, tricky question. If you have any, what are the core KPIs that you kind of report to showcase the effectiveness of these programs?
Sure thing. Well, I hope we're doing what everybody out there is doing, and aiming to be rigorous at the beginning of any of these initiatives to determine what is success, what does it look like, how will we know, and what are those behavior changes, and then therefore business impact that we would want to see as a result. So much easier said than done, but that's what we try to do. And I'll give you an example. Like, this, at the end of 2023 and into 2024, one overall metric we have as an organization is active use of our AI tools by our employees. So, that's a very specific measure. So, in how many employees, and month over month, have accessed our internal AI playground, and for what purposes? So, what are those use cases, and how are they using it? So, that feels like a super, again, robust metric. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
And then within all of our programs, we look at a few key things. So we use NPS regularly, likelihood to recommend. We use a simple question about, to what extent was this learning experience a worthwhile investment of your time? We feel like that tells us a lot about value. And then, depending on the initiative, what are those measures of application? So, 3 months later, to what extent are you doing X, Y, and Z in your work? Application of learning.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
great. An important one, right? I
Mm-hmm.
want to hope that it goes somewhere.
For sure. For sure.
Do you have a specific, you know, successful case study or example of an initiative that like has significantly impacted employee performance?
Yeah, let me, you know, the one I was thinking about this question, we have done an experiment over the last, actually the last full year, to launch enterprise-wide learning days, three of them every year. And we did this for two big reasons. One, we had heard from employee feedback loud and clear that, hey, I need time and space to dedicate to my learning and development. You know, I have great intentions, but it falls by the wayside, or, you know, it's the last thing that gets tackled on my list. So I need some time and space. That's one reason. We also, from an organizational perspective, again, coming back to this idea of critical skills, recognize like we want to help people focus on some of these things we know and believe are really, really essential. So look, these learning days are one way we went after this. And we've hosted four now, three in 2023. We just had one in early February. Two of those learning days had a focus on AI. And I mean, just keep talking about AI, but it's critical for us. So the first day last year was really about, okay, what's that general awareness? How do we get everyone level set with some definitions? How do we help people understand how we're using it to serve our customers, how we're using it internally? Awesome. This year, we're at a really different place. And so it's much more about how can I, in whatever role I'm in, take advantage of this so that I can improve my work, do my work differently? How can I go experiment and try some things and get much more hands-on? So those have been really positive experiments and initiatives. I would call them a success because we've hit two of those big goals. So people tell us, yep, this gives me time and space to focus. And I actually know beyond the day itself, now I have some things I can go do that are really concrete to continue to build my skills in this area. So that's great. And we've seen that that jump up in activity, that experimentation and use of tools that we had hoped to see. So I put that out there, you know, very broad. This was a very broad initiative with a very broad audience. But that's been a success for us.
Yeah, I can imagine, just because it's so empowering too for the employees, right? Like it's like, hey, you experiment with this, and like they get to really take hold of what they're learning. And I think that's super important. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, what role does we always, you know, we've been talking about AI at a high level, but what role in general does technology play in your L&D programs? And how do you leverage tools and platforms to enhance learning and development experiences for employees?
Yeah, I love this question. I mean, it's all over the place. So I would, you know, tech has a part to play across the board. So I think about, you know, the learning content itself that we provide for employees, you know, some of that we're building with different tech tools. Some of that we're curating or we're bringing in from the outside and making that available on demand. So huge tech implication there. Talked about development, certainly with delivery. So we have, again, a very global audience. So we're happily used to delivering when we're doing things live. We have a couple different ways we do that through our virtual platforms. We've gotten, you know, people are accustomed to interacting with each other in a virtual space. We've continued to experiment with how do we make virtual spaces engaging, compelling, interesting, not just, you know, another screen with another set of chats that you need to pay attention to, but how can we really make that feel purposeful and positive? And then I'd say finally on the personalization and recommendation front. I'd mentioned that our, you know, HR information system is helping with this. Like as we're populating that with our learning libraries and our learners are sharing, here are the skills I'm looking to develop. Here are the skills I have. Then that's feeding the engine to spit out recommendations that are much more personalized to me. And that to me is super exciting. Like, I actually think that's one of those future, possibilities that I am thrilled to see come about. So it's not that we're making our learners wade through forests and forests of stuff, but we're able to serve them up things that are really, really relevant.
Yeah.
So tech is all over the place for our learning environment, and it will continue to be for sure.
That's awesome. Kind of thinking a little bit more broad, generally, specifically about the industry. Obviously, the last 5 years, things have shifted in all kinds of different ways. Maybe, per what you were mentioning earlier, you've been a global organization, so you've been doing things virtually and remotely. But what are some key takeaways you've seen in the last 5 years for how things have shifted?
Oh, goodness. How have things shifted over the last 5 years? One trend that I mentioned that I think continues to be a real challenge is there's just this explosion of content and information coming at people. So the competition for attention is ferocious. And that is, I don't know. I think that's a big one. So there's so many compelling things to pay attention to. How do I discern as an individual? How do I discern what matters? And as an organization, how do I not flood people with stuff and instead get to that personal, relevant, delivered to me in my moment of need? So I think, I think there's the recognition that we need to do better there. Also, not move away from delivering training for those just in case scenarios and move it towards just in time or just for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to call up, like I might
yes.
need it someday. And then you're like, oh, I know I read something somewhere or watched
somewhere.
Something.
Yeah.
At some point, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, yeah, I think the fit for purpose idea. So how do I give somebody something that, again, is meeting their need? If they just need a question answered, I don't want to make them sit through a 20-minute e-learning course. Like, let's just not do that to each other. So I think, again, what I've seen in the last few years, there's more recognition about that. Are we where we want to be? Probably not yet, but that's what I see going forward.
But working on it. Yeah, for sure. And as the workplace continues to evolve, how do you see the future of L&D in general? Like, expanding upon maybe what you just mentioned, what trends or emerging technologies do you believe will shape the way organizations invest in their employees' growth?
Again, yeah, personalization is a for sure. I would hope that we continue to evolve in that space. I do feel like anchoring in skills and skill development. I mean, skills as the currency of the realm. That will continue, and I hope it does. That feels valuable to the organization, and it feels valuable to an individual. If I can get really clear, all right, what are the skills and how should I build them and how should I demonstrate them? That's going to get me more interesting career growth and opportunities going forward. So moving to that way of working, I'd also like recognizing that skills have a shelf life. How do we as L&D professionals and organizations get better at, again, accelerating how we identify skills and then deploy learning experiences that that attend to those skills. That's our challenge. That's one of our challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pretty common one. And then lastly, Abby, as a fun send-off, this is always my favorite question to ask. What advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
I think I'd point to three big things. So one is get really clear with your own leader and your own stakeholders what success looks like. I mean, hopefully you're doing that at every, with every role and at every step, but worth doing very specifically because it is highly likely that what made you successful before is going to be different now in a new role. I think it's a great time as well to ask for help. So I think about my amazing team and wider set of stakeholders. I really call on them in so many ways. So lean on the wisdom of your team and their experience and expertise. Widen your aperture too. I mean, there's so much, wisdom in the people around you. So lean on it. Don't feel like you have to know all the answers by any means. And I think my third recommendation is get a great coach, or more than one, because boy, it's really helpful to have a sounding board and a partner to help you along. Those are my tips.
Absolutely. I love all of those. I love the coach one because we ourselves are never done learning, right? So we always need.
Completely, completely agree.
Abby, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure having you on the NovoEd Talks podcast. And to all our listeners, thank you all for listening in to another episode.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, everybody. It was a pleasure.